Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Jeff Thomas, Lucy Freeman, Matt Rodriguez-Payne, and James Everett. Oh, and Harriet's in it as well this week.
And Harriet.
She's in the sketch. And Harriet Carmichael, most importantly of all. She's not here, but she is here.
Yes.
Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have Let's have a recap of what happened this week in Ambridge. You can't get the staff anymore.
This week was brought to you by story arcs. So speedy I was getting decision whiplash and grown men behaving like petulant teenagers, but more of this anon. We began the week with Brian calling in on Alice and saying how outrageous it was that someone was not being entirely honest with their romantic partner. Really, Brian? Alice sounded relatively chipper considering she'd just lost her apparent best friend's husband his job. But then I was a bit surprised that Alice and Fallon were that close anyway. But I should know by now that relationships that we all consider to be mild acquaintanceships are suddenly ramped up to be ties deeper and stronger than blood for plotical reasons. Look at Helen, who goes through best friends like a knife through butter with seemingly no ill feeling on either side when she's unspeakably vile to them. Over at Green Knackers, Jimus used the word roasties, which, like Damien Trench, makes me come out in an itchy rash, and I don't believe Jimus would use that term for a second. He is far more likely to call them roastus potatii. What a week it was at the vets. By Friday, I felt as traumatised as if I'd been in there with them. I think it's fair to say Alistair was whirling around this week like a weather vane in a Force 10. Firstly, he decided that he definitely wasn't going to make things awkward for Denise and followed this up less than 12 hours later by saying, "Morning, Denise. Nice digestives. I love you." Alistair bundled Denise into the stock cupboard and said, "Me and Shula were Aldi own brand hobnob knockoffs, whereas you and me are like Viscounts in wrappers, so come and snog me by the thrush cream and let's hope that Paul can't hear anything through 2 inches. She's of MDF. Alistair invited Denise out for dinner. Denise said, "Yes, please. Actually, no, thank you." Alistair said, "Right, fine. I'm going to move into an abattoir then." This set Paul off, who stood there stamping and red-faced like a tantruming toddler, saying, "You grown-ups all know things and I don't, and I want my real daddy and my work, daddy." To cap it all, Doug and Don from Lovell James stuck their collective oars in, which sent Twitter into a meltdown because firstly people thought they were Dick and Dom, which rapidly segued into Ant and Dec. Turned out they were neither. They were good cop, bad cop. And Dick or Ant or whoever it was said Alistair et al. Were appalling vets and had 50 million things they had to do better at, including keeping their private bloody lives out of the surgery, I'd imagine. If I was having my pet operated on, I would much rather it was by someone who didn't have the emotional stability of a slightly drunk 14-year-old. Alistair said we should all ignore Ant and Dom, and this is a great practice, but anyway, I'm leaving. Then Denise said, "Oh," and he said, "All right, then I won't. Bloody hell, could we just stay still for a bit next week, please?" The lighter bit of all this was that Alistair, Jazza and Jimus are having an absolute whale of a time discussing the ins and outs of this relationship. It's like Real Housewives of Ambridge all huddled round their kitchen table, drinking mint juleps and flicking their hair about. Fallon presented Harry with his order in the cafe, a chocolate and almond croissant with a big gob on it. Then she threw a sickie, presumably ringing in with her head hanging backwards off the bed, which is an excellent bunking tip if you haven't tried it. This was so she could keep harassment company and support him through the announcement of his investigation. You know, keep him positive. Chin up, love. And have you had any thoughts about what you want to do after you're fired like a cannon at the Trooping of the Colour? It's Martha's third birthday, and Jimus was delighted, reminding us all that Jazza delivered Martha in the back of a car. Jimus waxed sentimental. An unforgettable day for all of us, Alice, watching Jazza rummaging around in your glove compartment. And now, finally, harassment. You're right.
Sorry.
What the bloody hell is harassment doing? He is the human personification of the internal saboteur. He's been put on gardening leave and they've taken away his badge and his pedal car, so he's hanging around like a fart in a phone box. That bit is understandable, but what isn't is that he appears to have adopted a sort of, oh well, in for a penny attitude, and is now just telling everybody everything. For the love of God, harassment. It's like deciding that the remedy for a bad haircut is cutting your head off. All Chris said was, oh, you've got to tell me now. So harassment said, oh well then, fair enough. That's what you say when someone coquettishly mentions a secret that they've got every intention of telling you anyway. They just want you to say you. They just want to say you coerce them into it. Is there anyone professional left in Ambridge? We've got a vet behaving like Taylor Swift after an iffy breakup, and a policeman who'd give Susan Carter a run for her money on the discretion stakes. Thank God for Usha and the new doctor, who largely by dint of not having said a word for the last month, are a much needed beacon of ethics. The end.
What a week. What? Goodness me.
You loved it, didn't you?
I did. Last week as well. I thought, so last week it was written by somebody, Kate, I think.
Katie Hymns.
Katie Hymns.
Yeah.
Right, yes.
She's always good. Yes.
That was the writing. The writing has just been, I think, absolutely spot on for the last couple of weeks. It's been, it's occasionally. Well, I mean, some weeks more than occasionally. I remember a few months ago, there was a fairly Ardil-heavy week.
Yes.
The script was creaking.
I think we still refer to that as that week in capital letters, don't we?
Right, because, exactly, yeah. But it's just been completely seamless this last couple of weeks. I've really, really enjoyed it.
There's been very few clanger lines where you go, yay.
And lots of really nice, particularly like last week, Fallon and Harrison.
Yeah.
But also Alice and Chris this week.
Yeah.
Alice and Brian. Brian had a fantastic bit this week.
Yeah. When he was all blustering and scary.
And I particularly enjoyed him getting halfway through telling Harry to fuck off, and then catching himself just in time. That made me laugh out loud. But I forget exactly, but it was something like, "Well, you could just," and then he stopped.
Yeah.
Before I forget, the one line from last week that made me laugh like a drain was when Harrison and Fallon were being all lovey-dovey and saying nice things about each other. And then Harrison got a bit embarrassed, and Fallon asked him why he was getting embarrassed, and he said, "No, you're absolutely right, love. It's not like anybody's listening, except 5 million of our closest friends." I thought that was a deliberate line, and I enjoyed it enormously.
Yes.
What? It's just I can't. I said to you this morning, can we talk to Kerry and see if we can get on to next week already? Because
Yes.
I can't wait.
You were really sad when you finished listening today.
I was.
Yes.
It's been fantastic. Thoroughly enjoyed it.
I'm getting slightly annoyed with that, as you could probably tell from the monologue. Slightly annoyed with Alistair.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Could we just think about things for longer than...
He's hopeless, isn't he? And actually, Alistair and Jacob put together are just a catastrophe waiting to happen.
Well, Jacob relies on Alistair to translate the world for him in a way to make it make sense for him. And then when your translator starts behaving like a nut job, then it's completely thrown on his beam ends then, because he's like, but the person that I'm trusting is he's now a raving loony. So who's left, you know?
Yeah. We did. So I feel for Alistair. I do. I've been, as I think many people have been, I've been in a very similar situation. When I first met my ex-wife, unbeknownst to me, I have to say, She was in a relationship with somebody else. She was actually living with him, and I just cheerfully sort of ploughed into the middle of it without realizing any of it was there. But once I did realize it was there, it's incredibly difficult because it's incredibly important to you. If it's more than just a sort of, you know, a fling, it is very difficult to sort of get on top of your emotions. But essentially what I did was to say, look, it's entirely up to you, of course. I'm not going to put any pressure on you other than to say, I really like you. And, you know, I'd really like there to be something. And I'm here, and I'll wait. And you know, if you want me, call.
Did he set a limit on the waiting?
No, I didn't. But I mean, I was confident would be over egging the pudding. But I thought probably that, you know, it was going to turn out nice. But there were loads of times when I wanted to do what Alistair's done, which was essentially to give Denise an ultimatum, which is without actually not in as many words, but it's essentially what he's done, and he's done it twice now, so that really is two strikes. So I understand completely why he's done it, but he just needs to
back off and calm down. Jin David has much to say about this. Did you ever watch Kath and Kim, by the way? I'm laughing in anticipation of even saying the words Kath and Kim because I love it so much. Jin David quotes it in his email. He says, will Denise and Alistair get together? Of course they will, but they will round the houses in the process. As Kath and Kim might say, wake me up when it's over, O-V-A-H, over. And in fact, I then Googled that and found a little clip of Kim saying, me and Brit, we're completely over, like totally, like burrito. It really made me laugh. Anyway, Alistair won't leave the practice, David says. He can't even find his way to the bypass unaided. Denise is undergoing a personality transplant into someone who isn't that nice and is actually quite boring. Ooh. She also did a remarkable volte-face after speaking with John on the phone. We've never met John, as far as I'm aware, so we can't really expect to give two hoots about how he feels about the marriage breaking up. And can someone please lock Paul in the medicine cupboard for the foreseeable? If Denise and Alistair want to snog, there is a perfectly good bus shelter on the green.
Yes, quite.
And he also wants to thank Harriet for wishing us happy Christmas birthday last week when she was attempting
Yes, an inadvisable stab at the old Welsh there.
If you're going to have an inadvisable stab, Welsh is not the thing to stab at, is it?
It's definitely not.
As we both know. No. Anyway.
I don't think Denise is being unreasonable. They've been married a long time and it's complicated.
Yeah, but she said to Alistair, yep, come on then, big boy, let's go and, you know, into the stock cupboard with you. And yes, I will go out for dinner.
Yeah.
Then she did the chat on the phone and said, I can't leave him. He sounds really upset.
No, that's not what she said. She didn't say, I can't leave him.
Well, she said...
We got Alistair's version of that conversation.
Yeah.
And only Alistair's version of that conversation.
Didn't we? I thought we heard them talk about it.
She said that they'd talked and he'd cried.
Right. Which in Alistair's
and
mind...
And Alistair then inferred all the rest of it.
Okay. Right.
I think.
Alistair is going mad, isn't he? He's a man on the edge.
Well, he's a schoolboy on the edge at this point. It's really,
this is the most exciting thing that has ever happened to Alistair.
I'll have to take your word for that, but I can quite believe it. He doesn't live a terribly action-packed life, does he?
No, and he's been with Shula, a woman with a going-out cardigan, for crying out loud. Yikes. So, you know.
Yeah, no, I can imagine that that this is... You know, certainly by comparison with going out with Shula, this must be all terribly exciting for him.
Yeah.
But no, as you say, he needs to calm down and back off. I really do feel for Denise. I really do, because it is complicated. It is difficult, and you do go back and forwards, and also you don't want to be up and down.
See, if the person that you're leaving, if she is indeed leaving, is on top of the world, and everything else in their life is going brilliantly, then you're going to not feel as guilty about it as if you feel like you're just piling misery onto misery.
Kicking a man when he's down, exactly.
So I suppose it would be a completely different kettle of fish if he was trundling around on his bike and having a nice time, and because he doesn't seem to notice much whether she's there or not. But the fact that he suddenly needs her puts a totally different thing on it.
And also, actually, just the simple fact that they're not in the same place.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, you can't have those kind of conversations on the phone. You've got to do that face to face. So Alistair's just going to have to wait until Johnny's back, and he and Denise have probably spent a few weeks
working bickering about the dishwasher.
Well, you know, you can't switch off. I don't know, what is it, 25 years of, I'm guessing, 25 years of marriage. You can't switch that off in, you know, overnight.
No.
So he's just going to have to, calm down. It'll all be fine. Denise has basically said it's all going to be fine.
But also,
about twice or three times already.
Suddenly announcing things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I felt for Paul. I really did.
I know, yeah.
He turns up for work at the moment, and he's got no idea what's happening. Half that everybody's behaving in seemingly completely irrational way, and he's got no idea why.
He is going to lose his.
He is, yes. Yeah.
Biscuits, isn't he? When he finds out that
is that a thing? Losing one's biscuits.
I'm not sure that
means what you think it means.
The surgery this week seemed to be totally focused on biscuits. Because we had...
Oh, I see. Okay.
thing and...
Might need to edit this bit out.
Why?
Because, never mind. Just keep talking.
Why? What's funny about biscuits? Is it rude? Is it?
I don't know.
Is it rude? What does it mean?
I think there might be a rude...
I know all the rude meaning. Things. How come there is a rude thing I don't know?
There's definitely something about biscuits. Don't Google it. Don't.
No, it means it can mean extremely attractive person.
I think it means
to vomit
specifically. Okay, good, excellent. Then we can just stop looking for that now, then, and continue with the conversation.
No, what is it you think?
Anyway.
No, Paul. Tell me. I want to know.
No, I'm not going to tell you. I'm clearly completely wrong because you've Googled it and found no trace.
I found dipping your biscuits and I don't think I want to go into that. Well, listeners, that was a short interregnum in which Jeff refused to tell me what the rude thing was, so I Googled it and then his connection dropped.
In my defence, I wasn't making it up. My connection did drop.
Yes.
Slightly fortuitously, I will admit.
Yes. Well, anyway.
But
yes, and I've just had a horrendous tour of Google, which I don't want to have again. So there we are. Right.
Anyway, I really feel for Paul because, and he is going to, I think particularly with regard to what's happened this week, when he sees that in hindsight, he's going to be really pissed off about it.
Yes. Yes, because they're treating him like a child, but then they're in a really difficult position and, it's just that's what happens when you work with your lover and your child in the same practice. I mean, it's insane.
I don't think the secrecy is the problem. The secrecy is fine. It's all the other bloody antics that are happening and making him realise that something's going on without being able to know what's actually going on. That's the problem. If they were being secretive about it, that would be completely fine as long as they weren't also being knobends about it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. How do we feel about Alice at the minute?
So I'm not What's happening with Harry, do we think? Because I would like to think. So first of all, I am still not completely down on Harry, if you can believe that, despite everything that's happened. I'm not, actually. Good. Okay. Good. He's
obviously. I don't like him, but I don't think he's evil.
No, exactly. I don't like him either, but I don't think he's evil. And I think he genuinely didn't know that he's got a problem.
Yes.
Whether he now does or not, not sure.
Yes. Yes.
He's paying
exactly.
lip service to it. Yeah. But we shall see.
And what he does with that, I don't know. But the thing I still struggle with is the way he talked to Chris when they were talking about the horseshoe coming off and all that. It was very Lady Chatterley's lover, and I didn't like it. And it was someone that was incredibly conscious of his own status. But horsey people can be a bit like that.
Yeah, of course they can. Yeah. Mm. We've talked about this, and I think he was just gabbling. It just, just got away from him. And I don't think he was sort of... I think given the chance, if you sort of played that conversation back to him, he'd probably cringe and go, hey, and try and do it better next time, you know?
Yeah.
And he did the same thing at the mini golf. I don't think he's that bad. He's definitely got issues. What I wonder is happening now, whether it's happening... Good England. I wonder if what is happening now might be that Alice is now just trying to keep him on side until the hearing.
Yes. But she's being fairly neutral. She's not being overly... If she was being overly nice, she'd have invited him to Martha's birthday party, or he would have brought a present to Martha's birthday party or something. At least he had the grace not to turn up to that.
But does it potentially... It definitely lays the ground for trouble. So we don't know when the hearing is quite yet, do we? It's going to be about a month?
No, she said next week.
No. Really?
I think so.
Okay, I thought it was sort of a few weeks.
Oh.
But Harry doesn't know it, but it does make... So having had the conversations that she's had this week with Fallon and with Harassment, Alice is now under huge pressure not to shit the bed with Harry.
Mm.
Because if she does, then Harry is more than likely to say, do you know what?
Yeah.
Sod the lot of you. Yeah. I'm not going to the hearing. I'm not going to say nice
But he doesn't
about
seem
harassment.
To be taking advantage of it. He's not saying to her, right, you've got to come out for dinner with me because I'm...
No, I don't think he... No, like I said, he doesn't know.
No.
He doesn't know that. Mm. He, as far as he's... But I think more... My point isn't
but
that
he must
he will...
know. He must know that. He must well, know that.
Okay, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I don't think he's going to... consciously take advantage of the situation.
No.
But what it means is that he can be a twat, which he fairly regularly is anyway. He could be a twat and Alice is just going to have to eat it for a few weeks.
Yeah.
And that worries me a bit.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I think there will be a point where Alice really is in a very difficult situation where she desperately wants to tell Harry to sod off.
Yeah.
But can't because she's too worried about Harrison's...
Harrison clearly just wants to leave, though. I know he keeps telling everybody, everyone keeps saying, oh, he loves that job. But you don't take as many risks as Harrison does if you really love your job. Because if you really love a job like that, it comes first. And he doesn't put it first. He puts everyone around him first. He puts his, you know, he tells his wife, he tells Alice, And then what the...
Well, anybody will stand still long
Exactly. He's probably sprayed it all over the bloody bus shelter. But you go, you know, he's talking to Chris, and Chris literally went, oh, go on, you've got to tell me now. And he's like, all right, then. And just, bleh, then out it comes. And you think... You don't even... As soon as you think there's an inkling that somebody is going to start talking about one of your cases, you say, I'm sorry, I can't. And you leave. You don't even say, I'm sorry. You just make an excuse. Oh, someone needs me over there. And you go. You don't stand there and have a big vocal dilemma Ooh, I could tell you some things, but I mustn't. Oh, I could. No, I will. No, do you know what? I will. And you're like, oh, for God's sake.
And I think particularly if so, it's different for you or for me because we don't work in that kind of profession.
No, yeah.
But harassment must have had that drummed into him from day one of police school at, where is it, Hendon or somewhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
He must have had that drummed into him from day one, every day of his working life.
Yeah.
He's had to keep things compartmentalised and secret.
And now the floodgates are open, fella.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, one day,
he turns into Chatty Cathy and no one can stop him.
Right. I'm inclined to give him the, you know, inclined to say, well, anybody can make a mistake. But first of all, no, he's a copper.
Well, he's done it three times now.
And secondly, right, it's not just one mistake. No. He keeps making the same mistake.
Yeah, because this is internal saboteur at work. He actually doesn't want this job anymore. He wants to be fired.
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. As much as he professes, and, you know, he said the other day, I'd rather be in at work.
Yeah.
You know? But no, I think, and going, the whole part-time thing has come back to bite them even faster than we thought it would.
Well, that very well thought out. Yeah. Shall I go part-time? Yeah, all right. What?
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Okay, good. So I'll be back in a minute. I'm just going to go and tell boss I'm going part-time.
Right, Olaf.
And I think, actually, I think that's the first time we've had the part-time thing confirmed.
Yeah.
Because they talked about it. And then I don't think we heard anything about it. And now he's confirmed that he has indeed gone part-time.
Yes.
In the conversation where, you know, he was basically saying, oh, shit, I shouldn't have gone part-time. Amazing. Really
Alan
amazing.
Alan Love, I've made a terrible mistake.
Yeah. so now he's going to have to get another second job because he's gone part-time.
I love the way Fallon was going, though. No, you'll be great. It'll all be fine. But, you know, here's the situation's vacant in the Borchester Echo. If you just want to have a little look at that.
Yeah. There's a job for a window cleaner. Not everybody is saying.
That's a total lie, Lucy. As always, every time Fallon comments that she's either feeling a bit peaky or a bit tired or a bit whatever, everyone says, she's pregnant. But it could actually be, because it's been mentioned, because there's a big shifts going on in their relationship and in harassment's job and all that.
Yeah.
It's come up again this week,
hasn't it?
For plotical reasons, it would be interesting right now.
Oh, definitely.
So Rachel Hearn says, it's Rachel here, one half of the competitive sister duo. Charlotte is abroad, so have no one to bounce my theories around with.
Oh, that's a bit unfair. I'm waiting till she leaves the country and then emailing in.
Emma described Fallon as peaky after her bunking off workday. Could this be a teeny tiny hint that Fallon might just be up the duff? A sneaky storyline developing from the I don't want children storyline cropping up again, and then scenes from the boudoir of Fallon and harassment.
Thank God there was no kissing.
Then Fallon getting all emotional, saying harassment is the best thing that's ever happened to her, which could be the turning point of a change of heart. My prediction is... Oh, sorry. Cooper just stood up, shook himself so violently, fell over. Anyway, my prediction is harassment will lose his job. They'll take over the pub after Kenton and Jolene retire, assuming it's still standing after Marky's mob have set fire to it. She'll have the baby and they'll live happily ever after the end. Although I could be wrong, she says. P.S. Hearing Harriet's cheery voice in Lidl is the highlight of my shopping experience. That and the occasional free donut, she says.
I didn't know you get free donuts. Do you get free donuts for recognising Harriet?
Yes. Every time it's like bingo. Every time you hear it, you shout, Harriet! And then they give you a free donut.
You're Harriet Carmichael and I claim my free donut. yes. I'm not sure about the pregnancy thing. It would absolutely make sense, plotically. But I definitely think the pub's on the cards. Definitely.
If you were so definitely and completely sure that you did not want children, and you and your other half had agreed to that, you would be contracepted up to the absolute throat, or you would ask your partner to have a vasectomy. Or she would be sterilized or something, I think.
Well, you also not sure. So First of all, asking Harrison to have a vasectomy, I think, is not fair.
No,
because
if
Alan were to get, you know, hit by a bus tomorrow, then you know, he might then want to go and have kids with somebody else. Getting your tubes tied is not risk free. It's people die having it done. People die. Women die having it done. But definitely, you know, contracepted. Here's one for you, and here's one for me as well.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I should think Harrison's on the pill, to be honest with you, just in case. You
know. He wears 8 condoms every time. Just pop another one on.
A condom and a femidom. the rhythm method as well, and a sheet in between.
Sarah Denison is of the same opinion. Fallon is pregnant, she says. Reasoning behind this, lots of references to kids, Alice, mom, etc. Conversation with Harry, plus references to her not wanting kids, looking peaky, etc., etc. Still loving podcast. I'm going to have to put you on hold one moment because the dog wants to go out. Hold on a sec.
Okay.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, sorry, that was a slight misfire. He doesn't want to go out. He's half an hour early for dinner and is letting me know that if it would be available, he'd very happily consider having it now.
Yes.
Yes.
No, I got that. Mm. I could hear that going on in the background. Yes. where were we?
Harassment up, no, Fallon up Duff.
Similar. So I think the peaky thing's a bit of a bit of a... I don't know, maybe the writers would chuck that in as... As suggested, maybe. Mm. Who knows? Mm. I mean, I think the one thing that's for sure is that any theory we come up with on this show is subsequently proved to be hilariously wrong. So,
well, Janine is in much the same situation. She sent us a lovely email last week saying how proud she was of Alice hearing her get rid of them. And then she followed it up, literally, I think it was about 12 hours later, with an email that just put, Alice! And then put, scrap last email, Alice, you are a bellend. So, yes.
Bellend. People don't get called bellends nearly enough.
No.
Bring back bellend as a day-to-day... As a day-to-day swear word, I think.
I think that was at the start of the week when Alice was after they'd cornered Mom in the that was it. Janine was responding to the cornering Mom in the car park.
That really was catastrophically ill-judged, wasn't it? I don't know if it's actually done any harm. It hasn't helped. Definitely hasn't helped.
No. Well, it's just made, you know, it's association as well, isn't it? If Mom is trying to think positively about harassment and think, no, he's not a total liability. He does have some good qualities. And then you discover that all his friends, his wife and his friends, appear to be completely unhinged. That does kind of
and
give you a
and he's
view.
Been telling all of them things that he oughtn't have been telling them.
Yes. I think that was the issue, wasn't it? That he's just so clearly been wanging his mouth off at everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you really expected as a copper not to tell your spouse?
I think so. Yeah,
on?
Yeah.
Really?
Because that's how all that, you know, the guys that went undercover and sort of lived double lives, you know, by they had children and relationships with women when they were going undercover, pretend to be infiltrating, you know, eco groups and things like that. I mean, that was how that was all done, because they were just told, they just said, I'm not allowed to tell anybody, I'm not allowed to tell you what I'm doing, love, which included...
Oh, well, you would say that, they wouldn't.
having children with other women, yes. Do you... Oh, yes, it was Michael Gorman's birthday.
Happy birthday, Michael Gorman.
And he was born in Whitney in Oxfordshire.
Was he?
And he said he has penned commemorative lines for his own birthday. Here I am at 83. Bloody hell, it's the same old me, he says. Very good, Michael, and happy birthday. It was twice birthday. I wished you it, once on the wrong week and once on the right week. So yeah,
perhaps we can make a thing of this.
Yeah.
And just wish Michael Gorman a happy birthday every week.
Justine has responded to Harriet asking if there were other countries that had the equivalent of the Archers. And she said, thanks to Brexit, I have been a kraut, and it's okay to say it if you are on, since 2016, and I've lived in Germany for almost 30 years. Nein, wir haben hier keine Bogenschützen, she says.
Oh, yeah, Archers, Bogenschützen. Yeah. So literally, bow shooters.
Yes.
I'm sure they don't call it Bogenschützen.
Though. No.
I'm sure it's just...
Well, anyway, they haven't got it, so they don't call it anything. Dave Smith...
Well, no, that's with the wonders of the internet, of course. Everybody has it.
Yes.
So I'm here in the Netherlands and I listen to it.
Mm. Dave Smith has offered to take Harriet up in a helicopter after she had said...
Don't do it, Harriet. They're death traps.
Well, as we know, because I posted it on our... We have a little WhatsApp group of us and... me and Harriet and Jeff, and Harriet said no in about 14 different languages. So I don't think that's going to happen, Dave.
No, I don't think
he said, though. It's not as dangerous as driving. Don't believe all the news stories.
Unless you're a billionaire.
Unless you're a billionaire, yes.
And then it's absolutely...
Maybe Dave is a billionaire. We don't know. Could be.
No, but Harriet's not.
No, Harriet's not, yeah. So she'd survive and he'd die.
Honestly, if Harriet is a billionaire, I'm going to be a bit cross.
Yeah, I know. She could have said.
At this point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Plot predictions. This is from Charlotte Morgan. Harrison will resign after being severely reprimanded by Mom and given a demotion. He'll mope around for a while, but we'll eventually take over at the Bull following some sort of crisis with Jolene and the Black Country baddie. Fallon will join him behind the bar, leaving Natasha and Tom to run the cafe. Can't remember its silly name, she says. They won't be able to cope, so we'll offer Emma the manager job, which she'll hopefully refuse on the basis of being a qualified tree surgeon at that point.
I think that is all very likely,
which
again means that none of it is
going
to
happen.
Yeah. No, I think that's those are very sensible predictions, bearing in mind what has happened in the last week or two. Yeah.
Yep.
Agree with all of that.
Alex Hodge says...
Tick 10 out of 10, V good.
The actor who plays Harassment is from Chorley, which is only a short distance from me, but he's supposed to come from Bolton, which is where I once worked. Accents are very localised here in Lancashire, so I was very surprised that the character from Bolton is the accent slightly different to his Chorley accent. In addition, when he said Mom recently, I thought he said Mum. I couldn't work out at first why his mother had appeared. That's what I thought, Alex. Exactly the same when he said, all right,
they are, quite similar, aren't
what?
They?
What's his mother doing there? Hanging around waiting for him outside work. Very strange.
Okay, so now, I didn't know this, but Chorley is halfway between Bolton and Preston. So the sort of the triangle of Preston, Blackburn, and Bolton, Chorley's kind of in the middle of them.
Okay.
So I'm surprised it's only a few miles. So I wonder why then, if he's from Chorley, he's doing an identifiably Bolton accent. Why wouldn't he just do Chorley? Who the hell else? Who would know?
Well, clearly you
did his own accent,
Alex.
No, I wouldn't. Oh. I couldn't tell you. I think I might be able to tell the difference between Blackburn and Bolton.
Right.
But certainly Chorley and Bolton, no chance. No, wouldn't have the first idea. So why then is he doing a Bolton accent?
Who knows?
Inquiring minds and all that.
Patricia Johnson, because last week we were talking about trees and TPOs and whether or not you can just willy-nilly chop down trees if you don't have TPOs on them. She said she agrees with you this week. She says, it has been perfect script plot acting. I love the flirting with Denise and Alistair especially. I can actually see the longing in their eyes and they are being so responsible to the feelings all around them. And Fallon and Harris, well, they were. That was, she said, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. She didn't. She hadn't. We can confidently expect another email from Patricia as well saying,
Bellend.
Alistair, you're a Bellend. And Fallon Harrison, top-notch emotional conversations. Now, she says, recent matters. I told you my husband has a friend who is a tree surgeon, and I have paid attention to some of their conversations.
Oh,
usually, when a developer has interest in a site for a defined purpose, they have a tree surgeon on standby. The day they buy it, they fell the trees before applying for planning permission. But obviously our friend does not get involved if there's already a TPO. This is because the neighbours and local council don't usually notice there isn't a TPO in place and apply for one and can't raise it as an objection in the planning process as the trees are gone by then. Also, if you notice property for sale, you are welcome to view the particulars and research the local authority register. The details of TPOs are online. So the residents of Ambridge, local nature lovers, the local authority had plenty of time before the land was sold and during the planning process to apply for a TPO on that oak or any other trees in the village. TTFN, she says.
Ah, that's good advice, I think. So so if there are any nice trees around where you
quickly
are, go and find out if there are TBOs on them.
Yeah.
So it's a bit, I mean, it's not clearly not illegal, but it's also a bit sneaky, isn't it?
It is sneaky, yeah. And like I said last week, people, because you make so much money, there was a guy near us who had to pay a 35 grand bill for chopping down a tree that had a TPO on it, but it was worth it because he made about £1.5 million quid on
them. Of course,
on the houses.
It's the same thing. I saw some, I forget which very, very large, very, very profitable company was fined for something this week, but it was just, you know.
Was it water? Was it filling a trout stream with poo?
But it was millions of pounds, but it's still completely negligible.
Yeah.
And absolutely not a deterrent in any way.
Yeah. Ooh. Anyway. Yes. Mary Therese says, she's just started a new audiobook, Transcription, by Kate Atkinson. The main character was a spy during World War II, and now she works for the BBC. She leaves a meeting muttering about a new radio programme idea, a serial of agricultural families, and opining it is an idea that'll never last. Ha ha.
That's deliberate, surely.
Yeah, of course. So yeah, that's Kate Atkinson having a little laugh. I like Kate Atkinson.
I like that. That's very good.
Right, now.
A little Archer's Easter egg.
Yes. So we have messages for Febreze here. Two of them.
Mm-hmm. Before we get onto that, can we just one more plotical thing?
Yes.
Am I alone in thinking that what happened at that conversation with Harrison and Chris, that was absolutely none of Chris's business and he had absolutely no right to get bent out of shape about it?
Yes. Except, I suppose you don't want your baby daughter being in close proximity with somebody with a drink problem when your wife endangered your child because of her drink problem.
Okay, but he just spent 15 minutes telling Alice how fantastic she was and how proud he was and all the rest of it.
But it's because he's still in love with Alice, isn't it?
Is it?
Yes, because he's still
he's
jealous.
Probably right.
Yeah.
It was very sweet. I think he was sort of, you know, no, it's completely fine if you want to bring Harry, it says here, you know, it was, I don't think his heart was really in it, but it was very sweet that he was saying all those things anyway. And he did seem genuinely sorry when she told him that they'd split up.
Mm.
But no, you're right. I think his heart's not in it, is it?
No. No.
Anyway, so Febreze.
Yes, this is from Laurie. Count me among those who suffers from the what the hell is happening here earworm, but it gets worse. I surprised myself earlier today at work when during a flurry of confusion and panic over something important being lost, I heard myself say, Colin, Colin. Everyone stopped talking and running around and looked at me blankly. They all calmed down and found the thing that was lost. Colin, oh, Colin is my new go-to method of making everyone shut up from now on.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Well, if it works, fantastic.
P.S. Lucy's analysis of Alice's alcoholic personality was totally on point. Hooray! I've always predicted that she has a big relapse coming. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Fallon dumping her spurs. Sorry, I hope Fallon dumping her spurs her to meet with her sponsor or therapist or whatever. But I've never felt that one rehab would be enough for Alice, and I suspect we have some serious drama to look forward to. Probably hooking back up with Harry and both of them going down a bad road for a while until another bottom is hit.
Surely not.
I really hope not. I can't stand
Surely
it.
The writers can't do that.
It's like,
to us.
Don't give Helen another abusive partner and don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't let Alice get...
Surely not.
We've done that. We've done that.
It's like 2 years of it already, you know?
And you found it really important horrible to listen to, didn't you? Really stressful.
I did, I did. It's not nice at all.
No.
And it's, you know, it's very important. It's a very important topic and it affects a lot of people. But, you know, it's the Archers and I'd really like to...
Listen to
Eddie Grundy being a bellend.
Yeah.
You know,
this week.
For a while.
Was sponsored by the word bellend, ladies and gentlemen. this is from.
Maybe we can get some money from Big Bellend.
Sponsored by Bellend. Naomi said, I was busy making my lunches this evening. 2 days' worth, I hasten to add. I haven't taken to eating 2 lunches a day. I work in a primary school. There's barely time for one. While catching up with your latest episode, I was all ears when Lucy spoke about the day thou gavest, Lord, has ended. As for most of my life, well, since my school days, this has been top of my songs to sing at my funeral. I also have Kirsty MacColl. I bet it was Thank You for the Day. And Squeeze in the Mix too, but that's for another day. I had just thrown a pinch of pumpkin seeds into my mouth. I'd just thrown a pinch of pumpkin seeds into my mouth when the singing started. This resulted in me choking with laughter and pumpkin seeds. It was very much not a local village congregation. And I can only hope that if anyone turns up to my funeral, they sound half as good as that. It really made me laugh. Also, Jeff was saying that when Mr. Newby started listening, he'd never heard talk of the bull. Was this because it was COVID times and every pub was shut?
That's right, it was.
I could be wrong, but
it's
just a thought.
I think she's bang on there. Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely right. Yeah, nobody was going to... The bull wasn't in it because the bull was shut. Yeah.
I would also like to add that I have a habit now of saying in a Febreze accent, because I have. Jeff is taking over the world.
I nearly did my impression of Febreze there, but I won't because I'm not very good at it. So.
She says, keep up the good work and the skiing. Please tell Harriet's putative second cousin that none of this is true, was a page turner or whatever the audible equivalent is.
Yes. Mm. I'm now racking my brains for what Squeeze song one might play at a funeral. It's definitely,
it's not up the junction.
Up the junction. It's not pulling muscles from the shell. That's for damn sure. Which one would that be?
Don't know.
Could you please write in again and tell us which Squeeze song it would be that you would have played at your funeral? Because I am intrigued, to say the least.
Please, thank you.
Yes, please and thank you.
Right, and now we have got this. He's back.
What the hell is happening?
What the hell is happening here?
James has returned.
Hooray!
Probably bullied by his mother, I don't know, but he said, he's back and it's not going away, he says.
Oh, good.
Now, he says this, the clip from ages, you know, the clip before he went AWOL, before James went AWOL, was Usha and Alan talking about Amy's boyfriend, who was actually a married man. Yes, I remember that, yes. Right, so he says as a teaser for this week's clip, do the men of Ambridge know how to have a good night? Ready?
Oh, what's it called? Kings. You must have played it.
Sorry, Ian.
Well, drinking games aren't my thing.
Look, is it like Circle of Death?
Ah, you see, Charlie knows. Well, it's a bit like that, but there are more actions for the smaller cards.
So we each take a card in turn, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and depending on what it is, you have to do something. So, two is you, and then you nominate someone to take a drink. Three is me, you take a drink.
Is Ace Waterfall?
Exactly.
Waterfall? Mm. Everyone starts drinking, and you can't stop until the player before you does.
Oh, right. That's me, right?
No,
I need to see how Brandon's getting on. Have fun.
I don't think it's my sort of thing either. I'll ask Chris if he fancies it.
We need as many as we can, really. Okay, look, I'm going to go and rally the troops. Jezza!
Your drinking game. Oh.
Right. So that was Adam and Ian. Kenton?
Yeah. Kenton was doing the rules. It was David. Adam Ian. But there was someone else there whose voice I didn't recognise.
No, me too.
Can I play it again?
Yeah, sure.
What's it called? Kings. You must have played it. Sorry, Ian.
Well, that's drinking Roy. Games aren't my thing.
Look, is Ian? It like Circle
oh,
of Death?
Yeah, Roy.
You see, Charlie knows. Yeah, yeah.
Charlie? Who the hell's Charlie?
Oh, I'm not sure Charlie. I think Charlie's just... Oh, no, they're talking about somebody who's there, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, Charlie knows. Who is Charlie?
Well, I mean, you're asking me?
I'm not really. I'm asking the ether.
Yes. Asking the listeners. Well, I mean, that's the whole point of this, isn't it? Really?
Yes. Of listeners, this segment. Write in. Who held yes. Charlie?
Yes, I mean, what the hell is happening here? I
quite.
Think.
Another
says, corker.
James says, if any listeners have a request of characters they'd like to hear, let me know and I can find a suitable clip.
Oh.
I have one, Jamesy, but I don't know if it's too far back. I'd like to hear Julia Pargiter. Because I was very fond of Julia Pargiter.
Who's Julia Pargiter?
Lizzie's mother-in-law, Nigel's mum.
Oh, right.
She was played by an actress called Mary Wimbush, who was a stalwart of the BBC drama department. And she had the most amazing, raspy, incredibly posh. One of those women that sort of has lipstick halfway across her face and over one tooth, you know. And yes, that's what she was like.
There is a character that I would like to hear, but I can't even... his name is on the tip of my tongue and I can't remember it. He...
Walter Gabriel.
Oh... Yes. What? How the hell have you... No, seriously, how... That is very odd. How did you know?
Because I am a witch.
Yeah. Because I remember... He's sort of crossed my consciousness very, very sort of slightly, just... Once or twice, because I remember listening as a kid and I remember Walter Gabriel and I don't remember anything about him. I have a feeling, was he a bit of a cad?
No, it was his son, okay. Nelson.
Oh, yes.
Walter
right.
was the one that everyone used to do impressions of Walter. That's probably how you know, because he's, me old pal, me old booty, used to say.
Yeah.
And like Tony Hancock, there was. An episode of The Archers where there was an episode of Hancock called Farmer Hancock, and he starts doing impressions of Walter Gabriel because it was like then you knew he was like the fastest character to let people know you were talking about The Archers, most accessible character.
Yeah. It's like thingy from Coronation Street.
Mavis, exactly, yeah.
Yes, Mavis, yeah. Just a quick go-to. Right, fantastic names. Walter Gabriel and Nelson Gabriel. Fantastic names.
Yeah. Yes.
So, yes, Joe, you know, if you really do have time on your hands, I can't believe we're giving James, poor James, more work when he should be out being a student.
Nonsense. It's character for me.
Ignore us, James.
No,
we don't
need
any of this.
Also, I thought of another one as well. Oh, the dog woman, Marjorie Antrobus as well.
Oh, I recognise that name.
Yeah. Claire Everett says, mother of James, says, why is Alistair acting like a deranged teenager? Denise is probably having a lucky escape. I'm not sure getting trapped in a stock cupboard with a panting and overexcited middle-aged vet is really much of an escape from a loveless marriage. I predict a return to gambling and by the end of the month, Jacob will be wishing he let Alistair bugger off to another practice. Yes, we never talk about Alistair having a sort of a return to his particular vice. We're worried about Alice all the time, but we don't think about that Alistair.
I think I have heard it mentioned, but I had completely forgotten that he'd had a gambling problem.
Yeah. Well,
what was he betting on?
Horses and dogs, I think. Right.
Did he get himself in trouble?
Yes, he did. He wazzed all their money up the wall and Shula had to sort of bail him out with money and everything, which she did in her typical graceful fashion, you can imagine.
Oh, I can only imagine, yes. Yeah.
She didn't make him feel bad about it at all.
No, anything. I'm sure.
No. Yes, right. And now we are crossing over to a forest in Felpersham. Who knew? Where we can learn some things about tree surgery.
Thank you.
Sorry I'm late. I couldn't get Ed down for his nap. Have I missed anything?
No, you've actually just got me for a bit. The other students are going to be a bit delayed. One's driving the other one to Felbersham General. Bit of a thing with the chainsaw. I knew he wasn't listening. I could tell. Still, sometimes it takes a leg hanging off to make people sit up and pay attention. Well, I mean, he can't really sit up now. He was more slumped in the passenger seat, but you get the gist. Now you, I could tell you're keen.
Oh, I am. This is my way out of cowhide wallpaper and parsnip brownies. Keen as mustard, I am.
Great, that's what I like to hear. Now, what experience of tree surgery have you had?
Well, I've seen most trees, I reckon. I've leaned up against a few in my big coat. I've had a go with a chainsaw, and I like the outdoors.
Right. And you're doing this course with your husband, are you?
Well, yeah, but mostly it'll be me. He's going to be in charge of picking up the bits I chop off. To be honest, this course would be a bit beyond him. He tends to get a bit caught up with the packed lunch element of things, so it's better if I do the course than give him the edited highlights, like don't touch the whizzing round bit, it's sharp, that sort of thing.
Okay. Do you have the correct safety wear?
I do, yeah. My husband doesn't, but I'm giving him my son's old Captain America helmet and shield, and he'll be fine with that.
I think we'll need to revisit that, but let's start at the beginning. What made you want to become a tree surgeon?
Not wanting to be bossed around by a Welsh nutjob for the rest of my life. Plus, it seems sort of sexy, though, doesn't it? Swaggering around in a visor and metal trousers and big gloves. Empowering. And the money, obviously. My husband was hoping to teach sheep to play cricket, but that fell through, so we thought we'd do something completely different.
And you've got a business development loan to do this course?
No, we got turned down because we'd done zero preparation except giggling a lot. So we have borrowed the money from my ex-husband and Ed's brother.
Ah, family members, pooling their resources.
No, they're the same person. And it's pretty nice of Will, really, considering he didn't even know if his son was really his or Ed's. And Ed shooting his dog. Well, that was before Ed ran over the other dog, of course.
Of course. But your side of the family, that's more stable, is it?
Yes. I mean, not my uncle. He's in prison. And no charges were ever pressed against my sister-in-law about the brick. And everyone's forgotten about that, really. Now my boss has been attacked by a black country gangland dog.
Right. I'm really not sure about this, Emma. I'm surprised you're licensed to use nail scissors, to be honest.
I'm really responsible. I'm just surrounded by useful idiots, that's all. Ah, I can hear a car. Is that the rest of the group?
Could be. Let's just get the list out. Emma Grundy, we can tick you off. So we're just waiting for Harry Chilcott, Philip Moss and Bruce Titchener. Smashing. Should be a good session. Very good, that
was, wasn't it? Wonder who does
I don't know
those.
Who does those, but they're say, really yeah. Excellent. They're really, really well done.
Right, shall we say goodbye to the nice ladies and gentlemen?
Yes, which ones are they?
I think you possibly have a bit of script to do.
Oh, do I? Mm. Right, okay, I'll find that.
Yes.
And my screen hasn't even locked itself this week.
No.
So here we go. I could just say it.
Seamless.
Yes, it's just so professional. If you've enjoyed the show, please give us a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you like. And you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter at on Ambridge. Febreze is at Fabulous Febreze, or you can email us at ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com. That's ambridgeonthecouch@gmail.com.
And if there's a character that you would like to hear a little bit of, then we will set James Everett on the task and then watch as he spectacularly fails his degree course because he's been pissing about.
I suspect we are going to be inundated, yes. And poor James may have made a big old rod for his own back here.
In the fetal position crying on the floor of his room. Sorry, James, but it's your own fault for saying it. Right now, we are going out in splendid Mozart fashion. Courtesy of Matt Rodriguez Payne. We are having Eine Kleine Archers Musik.
Oh, super.
Yes. So goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Have a lovely week. And let's see how many times Alistair can change his mind next week.
Yep.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.